Final hour for the week. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker. Now up on TSN 2, Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles McLennan, Dave Feschuk. And Al's brother is going to be riding solo here, the O-Dog.
Nice.
Off today. The O-Dog will be back on Monday to yell and scream if Al's brother gets it wrong. But
yeah.
As we suggested earlier, the grappler couldn't find a hat, couldn't find a piece of paper, so we couldn't post a video on the revealing of who's going to pick which game. So we don't know yet. We're not sure yet. We will flip a coin in the moment. I guess we have to determine what we're flipping for. Are we flipping for, you know, chronological order? Or is it whoever wins the coin flip gets to pick which game they want to bet on?
I don't know how you guys feel about that.
Oh, yeah. You should, if you win the flip, you should get the right to pick the game you want.
Okay. All right. So it's kind of like the NFL rules. Like, you get to receive. Right? Like, you want the ball, and if you go down and score a touchdown, then the rest is history.
100%.
That works for me. All right. I'll let Al's brother go Josh Allen. He can pick, too. I took some heat for that take I had earlier in the week, and I thought about it afterwards. It was a pretty, like, I'm good with, I can bring some takes that are outrageous and at times don't age well. I don't think I was criticizing him for getting the coin flip wrong, but I did say he could have got it right. You know, so
are
I don't
you
know.
Serious,
50%.
Okay. Are you
can you criticize a coin flip?
I argued with you about that. I said, like, what was he supposed to do? You're like, well, get it right. I'm like,
yeah,
it's a coin flip.
I know that, but it's like, you know, you go to a roulette table, and if your buddy says, here, I'll throw 20 bucks with you, you pick red or black. If you get it wrong, your buddy's not going to say, hey, what are you going to do? He's going to be calling you a moron, right? He's going to say, you're an idiot. Why didn't you pick the other one? As if you're supposed to know. Clearly, Josh Allen can't know what's coming. But he did technically choose, and he got it wrong. So is that a bridge too far for you?
That's a new one, Hayes. Of all the things people are hammering the Bills about, that, you may be the only one that's on that one.
Well, then I'll take it. It's a unique angle. You know, embracing debate. I'm into the hot takes when it comes to coin flips and whether or not you picked it right or wrong.
Yeah.
Because I do think that's something he's probably got to chew on a little bit himself. Obviously, he's not going to have to. He's not going to own it, or people are going to be angry with him. Josh Allen is the king of Western New York. No one's angry with him, nor should they be. But it's probably premeditated that he went out there saying he's going to pick tails, I believe it was.
He picked tails.
Yeah, and he picked tails basically every time. I think he always picks tails.
Right.
But what if it was a flip? What if you walked out there and McDermott said heads, and he goes, I'm going heads, and then in the moment he buckled and said, you know what, I'm going tails. Then do you have to own it?
I think you have to own it then. If you're told to do something and you don't execute, if the coach goes, go and choose heads, and you go out there and say tails, and it's heads, like, that's on you.
I think so.
Then you have to own that. But we're not privy to that information unless there's an all or nothing out there that you can hear him actually say, go and choose heads.
Should the Bills have done, like, a scouting report on the referee's coin flipping tendencies, Hayes? Is that what you're suggesting?
Biggest moment of the year. Biggest moment of the year. Biggest moment of his young career, Allen McDermott. And, you know, in the end, didn't win the coin toss, never touched the ball, and now they're sitting at home, and Kansas City's playing this weekend. I feel like Duffy will be on my side.
Yeah.
Duffy and I think we're going to see eye to eye on this.
I'm not sure.
Here's our buddy James Duffy. Do you think there's any possible scenario where Josh Allen could deserve criticism for getting the coin flip wrong? Can you picture any scenario where there's a hot take there?
I know you desperately need me in this situation because you have no support surrounding you.
Right.
But unfortunately, I am a lifelong tails guy.
Okay.
I have been tails my whole life. I don't believe in the heads movement. I never have. I don't trust heads people. And so I live and die with tails. And so I respected Josh Allen, even though he was wrong, and it cost them the season.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't have a commitment one way or the other. I just wing it, whatever.
Are you guys looking? No, seriously. I'm a tails guy in almost every flip.
Really? Your heads?
I go both. I swing both ways. Heads, tails, whatever, man. I'm
don't
out there living.
Do you feel like most people are heads people?
I don't know.
I would like to see some nerd do a study and do the coin flips in the NFL, CFL, whatever. And I bet you it's 70% heads. I just feel that way.
I
feel like everybody goes heads.
Yeah, I I guess now in Buffalo, you know what they're going to be picking for the rest of time will be heads. If you're if you're in Buffalo and there's a coin flip, like what a troll job that would be. Just stop the biggest.
You know, and I know this is a trendy thing now, and it only happens once in a while when a great game like that ends in a bad way, and people bring up overtime, and then other games will end, you know, somewhat normally, and it won't matter. But this comes up every couple of years, but it is the dumbest thing ever, and I really can't believe it's gone on this way for, you know, most of history. Well, it was worse before when you could win with a field goal. That was right. That was 10 times more ludicrous. But it's not like everyone's talking about all these scenarios. And I do like the CFL one. People might think it's goofy to start at the 35-yard line or whatever. But you don't really have to change anything except let the other team have a possession. That's all you really have to change. And, you know, if they don't match. And I think you could make it. You could make it two-point converts. So in all likelihood, you're not going to have anything good. I don't think the first team's going to score a touchdown, get a two-point convert, and then the next team's, I suppose, with the Bills and the Chiefs, it could happen, but it'll happen rarely. But all you have to do is just give the other team a crack, and if you get a field goal, well, they win with a touchdown, or they tie with a field goal, and it's fairly simple change.
Yeah, there's just always been this hang-up on this idea of a game that will never end, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what always comes up. Like, well, you can't be playing forever. Who believes that that's going to happen, that you're just going to play forever?
But they are so unique anyways. Like, if they allowed that to happen, do you think that there would be a game that would go till 6 a.m. the next morning?
No, but, like, maybe second
quarter? I think if you look at college, U.S. I remember there's been, like, there's a couple U.S. college football games, and I'll get this wrong, that were, like, 75, 74 or something, where it went five times. I don't know what the league, have Naylor or somebody or Farhan confirm this, but, you know, I think the CFL ones, I think it's declared over after a certain amount of time, is it not? I should know this, but I forgot. It might be three each or something like that, but I don't think it's gone much beyond that. So, yeah, you might get a game every 5 years that goes, you know, they go back and forth three times. Big deal. You know, it's like the Stanley Cup playoff, they play five overtime games, so come on.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. Yes, it's a physical sport, but, you know, like at some point it's going to come to an end, and once I don't know. I mean, the issue is you could just keep doing this in perpetuity in terms of, well, they got the ball first, they scored, then we scored, then they scored a field goal, and that's not fair because they got a chance to score the field goal and end it, you know, in their second possession, and that's still the reason they got that possession was because they won the coin flip. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's going to keep coming back to that.
Well, the coin flip would automatically become everybody wants to go to kick.
Yeah.
Right? And I see. There's nothing wrong with that. That's still way more fair than completely losing it on a coin toss.
Yeah.
Still having each offense is getting an opportunity that way. So I don't think you can't complain that way that it was more fair. We lost the coin flip, so the guy that got second had a better opportunity. That's just silly. Everyone's getting the ball once, and that's fine. Aren't we burying the lead here, though, of why I'm on this program right now?
Yeah.
Why are you on this program?
Go ahead.
Well,
it's the other game no one cares about. You're here to talk about that game.
The game no one cares about. the Grappler offered me an opportunity to come on Monday, but I thought, I care about you, Hayes, and I thought the wounds would be too fresh.
Yeah,
and so I purposely asked for a Friday appearance so you could have healed properly. And you'd just be excited that you'd have come around to the notion of donning the gold and red, because it's always good when your team, the team that beats your team, you always cheer for them. That's the fans' right way to do things, because then you can always claim to be the second or the third best team in the league when it's over, and that's what you should do, and that's why you will be a Niners fan this weekend, correct?
Well, I might be betting on them, and if that's the case, I mean, generally that's the way it works with me. And yeah, listen, I got to give credit to the Niner gang. You know, they went up there, and I don't know how the hell they won 13-10. Jimmy Garoppolo accounts for 6 points, his offense. But
everyone, you know, people were ripping. I made a comment throwing you some love that those were the two best teams in the NFC. And I still believe that, as bad as some people thought the game was. I didn't look at it that way. I thought it was two really good defenses. And the Niners D, I mean, I guess they're getting credit right now. I'm not going to say nobody's talking about them and all those stupid things we say. But I just think the Niners D the last 3 weeks has been ridiculously incredibly off the charts from a guy who watches them all season and studies them every single down. Their ability to just put pressure on and sit seven guys back every single play essentially has killed, it killed Stafford in the game that got them into the playoffs, and then it killed Dak and it killed Rodgers.
Yeah, it did. Really did. No, there's full credit there, man. They look like the Super Bowl team from a couple of years ago. It's very similar. I think with a better feature back, although Mostert was unbelievable 2 years ago, incredible 2 years ago, and Deebo Samuel is a freak of nature.
They've become, I don't know if it's a Shanahan thing, kind of like his dad, where, and I guess they talked about this on the broadcast, they seem to be able to put, I don't know if they've just happened to have a string of several great running backs, or it's like the old Broncos were under Mike Shanahan, where whatever the system is, any running back they put in there seems to have incredible success. And that's the way it's been for the Niners, really, for the last 3 years. So, like that Mitchell kid, what, a sixth-round pick or something?
Yeah,
he looks fantastic. So, it's been, honestly, as a Niners fan, it's been one of the more fun runs beyond all the Super Bowl years, just because the unexpected runs are always the fun runs, right? When you're the number one seed and all that, then I don't know. Something like this is just, when it was 17-0 at the half against the Rams and I was thought the season was over, to come back now and be a game away from the Super Bowls is fun.
So, Duffy, it's going to be, an interesting dynamic at SoFi Stadium in L.A., because in a lot of ways, a lot of people are predicting it's going to feel more like Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara on account of the fact that, A, the Rams don't have a lot of fans because they haven't been in the market very long, and, B, your 49ers fans, they travel, and they're going to travel. Apparently, one of the ticket marketplaces is saying 65% of the seats in the aftermarket have gone to San Fran fans. A, are you going to be among them? Are you going out? And B, what do you think it'll be like to be in that stadium?
If anybody watched that last game against the Rams, I would say it was solid 75% the Niners fans. And I just think part of that is the Rams are still this transient team that's gone sort of back and forth, and I don't think have never really had that ridiculous fan base in L.A., at least since like the 70s and 80s, and that's probably part of it. And yeah, the Niners, I mean, they're not the Leafs fan base, but they're kind of like that. They do travel really well, and the Niners are one of those teams that, like the Packers and Cowboys, that does have fans everywhere, tend to show up. I'm not going. In fact, this will be my first Super Bowl I won't be at in, I guess, 8 or 9 years. So if they make it, I'll have mixed emotions. But I kind of don't mind, because then I don't have to wear that, journalistic integrity and unbiased hat that I had to wear, like, whatever it was 3 years ago against the Chiefs. I can just be at home and be a fan. And that's kind of fun when your team is in it, as goofy as that sounds.
No, absolutely. Yeah, it's a total, I mean, you're down there working, and you're, mm-hmm. You can't sit there and just be watching. There's no cheering up in the press box.
Yeah, like the last time, they lose to the Chiefs, and we got Laurent Duvernay-Tardif with us or whatever, and I'm like, congratulations on an excellent effort. I don't cheer for anybody in sports anymore, and I'm sure you guys all feel the same way. The business sucks the fan out of you, but that's the one team that I've sort of stayed on. Like, I don't have a cheer for a team in the NHL. I get accused of being a Sens fan. My parents were big Sens fans, and I'm from Ottawa, but I don't care. Obviously I like the Raptors to win because they're Toronto's team, and I'll get on the Jays bandwagon once in a while, but the Niners is the only true team I still really root for hard and geek out a little bit about.
Well, your fandom, like, if you were in a press box and you were sitting there watching, like, do you yell and scream? O-Dog does.
I don't know if this ever got discussed on the show, but during the playoffs, I think 2 or 3 years ago, we were in the press box, and they scored, and O-Dog literally did a fist bump and was like, yeah! And he was chastised by one of the reporters.
And then
I'll just say it was Kenny Campbell. And, you know, and Ken, when we were taught, like, I don't know if Kenny went to Carleton, but, you know, in journalism school, they teach you that that is a primary sin, to never root or cheer. And that's so embedded in me that I would never, ever do that, ever. But that doesn't mean I don't blame O for doing it. O's not a journalist, right? He's a guy who played and still wears his
heart and soul beliefs,
and he happened to be in the press box. And frankly, that happens everywhere. Everywhere. I can remember the L.A. Kings final. The crew, it was a Jimmy Fox, and I don't know who was the other. Who's the other guy that used to do
that? Daryl Evans? Evans?
Yeah, I think so. But
the suits.
Jimmy Fox was literally swearing at the referees, I think, from the press box. And again, I don't, because he wasn't doing the games in the final, right? The TV gig was doing national now, so he was off. But again, I don't really have a big problem with that. He's the analyst for the team, paid by the team, and he wears his heart on the sleeve. So, you know, I respect that from those guys. It's just I don't think as a host or a reporter you can really do stuff like that.
So McDavid had a couple of goals last night, one in the shootout that was nasty.
Ridiculous, yeah.
And the other one, you know, standard end-to-end, tucks one in. And Juuse Saros, I mean, he's top five Vezina guy right now, right?
Yeah, he is. He's statistically been unbelievable. Yeah,
and it feels like it's become so commonplace for this guy to do these kind of things and score these just almost borderline miraculous goals. And I'm a little bit freaked out by that because I don't want to become immune to like the shock value of a guy like McDavid, but it kind of feels like we're creeping towards that level where he's scoring these type of goals and it's just a matter of fact that he goes end to end and blows by a guy and tucks one in. Just a matter of fact. Wasn't nice enough, didn't deke three guys out, so not worthy of us starting the show with it. It's crazy what he's capable of doing and making.
It's the ultimate
look.
Well, you're paying him the ultimate compliment, right?
Yeah.
He has normalized the ridiculous and the incredible. And that is remarkable. And I think we're probably going to see the same thing with, you know, the Zegras-type stuff. Not necessarily this season. Like, I was still blown away by that goal last night because he did it at top speed. But, you know, the Michigan, the lacrosse goal, whatever you want to call those things, they're probably going to become a thing that I would say in, you know, a year from now or 2 years from now that you see one. I'm not going to say every night in the NHL, but you know, maybe every week or something, and you just kind of go, oh, yeah, there's another one of those. It doesn't mean anything anymore. And that's a shame because they're remarkably, incredibly skilled plays.
Well, the only thing I would say about it is we were so critical of Edmonton during that 15-game stretch where you weren't seeing that stuff from McDavid, so you were almost like, what's wrong with McDavid? Because when you're so used to seeing, every three games, every four games, McDavid do something like that. And when it didn't happen in those 15 games, you're like, oh, man, this guy, you know.
Not feeling it, not finding ice.
It's redefined slump noodles, right? It's not not just a stat slump of scoring, but if it's a spectacular slump. If you don't do anything in 3 weeks, there's something wrong with him. And again, I just think that's just what we're doing here is just giving the ultimate compliment
to it really is.
The most skilled player in the history of the game.
He's phenomenal, and that's three in a row for Edmonton. So they're.
I mean, he's no Debo Samuel, but he's a good player.
He's a very good player. He's George very Kittle good. Or, you know, I don't know, Jimmy Garoppolo in crunch time. Garoppolo gets wins. His win percentage in the playoffs is pretty
Jimmy
good.
Jimmy G.
And I love how anyone that criticizes Garoppolo, you know, this is a big story this week. Jeff Garcia went off to Mina Kimes. There was completely just a goofball rant that was completely offside, in my opinion. But furthermore, I think what Mina Kimes said was appropriate. And everyone's like, well, leave Jimmy alone. He plays for a team that traded up to get his replacement. Like, I love how people on the outside say, man, I don't know about Garoppolo. Shanahan doesn't believe in Garoppolo. He made that abundantly clear. They traded
the only
up.
Plan this year, the only plan when they were 2-5 or whatever, was to play him to build up the trade value for him. And then it just
shot. If he wins a Super Bowl, what happens?
Further.
What happens if he wins?
I think you have to bring him back. And look, I have a real love. Complicated love-hate relationship, as I think most Niner fans would have with him. I know he's not Aaron Rodgers, or he's not a top five quarterback in the league, but he's a good, there's a lot of crappy quarterbacks in the league. And I think he's a decent quarterback. I've had to admit that to myself as much as I've sworn at him countless times over the years. I think he's not a terrible quarterback on a great team. He's a decent quarterback on a really, really good team. And what? He could win you a Super Bowl. Something will probably go awry either this weekend or if they make it to the big game in the big game again. But he's a good quarterback, and I think you have to respect that. But if you win a Super Bowl, I think you have to bring him back. I really think you do. It's $25 million, I think they owe him, which is sounds crazy, but in the day of the $40-50 million quarterback, it's not that bad. And I think you just, if you can get him for one more year, whatever, I'm not sure if that would be the case, and just postpone the whole transition for another year.
What a glowing endorsement. What a glowing endorsement of Jimmy G, what you just said. Like, he's, he's a middle of the road, like maybe lower than middle of the road. Like, you're literally trying to...
He's a top half of the league quarterback. He's probably in the top... I'd have to go through and look at it.
He's middle of the pack.
Probably like the 10th best starter in the NFL.
No, he's not. He's not even close to
the... Not even top 10.
He's not... I don't know if he's in the top 20, Duffy.
Like, no, that's... Okay, he's top half of the league. I'm going to stand by that.
Okay, if he is, he's 16th. Like, that's what he is. He's right.
He does a lot of little things well that you guys don't appreciate, all right?
Ringing endorsement.
This is the best. The best endorsement is, I guess if he wins a Super Bowl, we'll have him back. I guess. You can come to the parade.
Look, when you've won as many as we have in the Bay Area, and you there's a standard that... Standard's a little bit different, okay, than Green Bay, and they're one in the last, 34 years.
I can't.
Just different standards.
I understand that. Montana, Young, and Garoppolo. I mean, that's that's the torch. Well, good luck this weekend. It's going to be a fun one. And
wait a second. Do you really mean that?
Yeah.
Them to win?
I don't like the Niners or the Rams, so it doesn't really matter to me one way or the other.
I don't like, by the way, that we've beaten them, I think, 6 times in a row. I don't like that. When it comes to numbers, I don't like things like that. But I didn't like it when they'd won 5 in a row in the last weekend of the season. They won anyway, so who cares?
Right.
We're going to win.
Exactly. There you go. Good luck, buddy. We'll do it again soon.
See you, boys.
There's James Duffy, big Niner fan. And picks are coming up. Al's brother has been waiting patiently. He's got tremendous information. Noodles, you've got the coin.
Yeah,
it will be flipped.
Ready to rock.
Whoever wins it gets to pick whichever game they want to play, which
Hayes.
Adds to it, doesn't it?
Hayes, don't blow the coin toss, man. Don't blow it.
I don't know if I want it. That's we got to determine who gets to call it.
It's got to be you now.
Now
it's got to be you.
Okay, you're right. It kind of has to
you're
be.
You're killing Josh Allen.
If I'm killing Josh Allen, I got
to. You have to have the call.
I put a target on my back. You're right. I got to step up here. Okay. All right, I'm doing it. We're really doing it here. Aspen and coin flips. And Al's brother. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
In the final trial, the first star, Al's brother.
All right, lots of anticipation for Al's brother. We've been waiting. We've been building towards this. There he is in the basement. Looks like he may have had himself a soak earlier this afternoon, a little hot tub to set the tone.
Very relaxed. Very relaxed.
Very relaxed, which means tremendous information plus relaxation equals success. Is that right, Al's brother? Or
well, let's hope. Let's hope that's the case. I'm hoping so. I feel good. I did take a dip in the tub today.
Atta
you
boy.
Caught me. I definitely did, and I'll probably go again later tonight. It's Friday night. Pop a nice beer, hop in the tub. That's what Friday night's
You're
all
glowing,
about.
You're glowing, Els, brother. You're glowing.
You are.
I love
and,
it.
Oh, and I feel good. Yeah. I feel good about these picks this weekend. I've got some information.
I know.
I've got information.
Okay.
And you adjusted the camera because you look way more proportioned now.
I don't know what is going on. I guess I pushed it back a little bit more. I pulled my desk out and pushed it back, so maybe there's just...
Looks great. Now you look like you're not, an inch away from the camera. You look good. You're ready to rock. Let's do it. What are we doing here? I had to rustle up a coin.
Yeah,
you don't have coins kicking around.
I know.
Flip a debit card or something.
Do you know, you remember when I had the shark coin? You know where that was from that I found laying in the studio? It was from the coin snatching 2 years ago.
Oh, that's right.
It was still chilling in the studio on the ground.
The coin snatching. That was 5 years ago. That feels like forever ago when we were doing stupid bits in the studio. That was a long time ago. You're right. Yeah. So I guess we've established Al's brother because I've been chirping Josh Allen, and I think he deserves heat because he didn't call the right coin flip last weekend. Now I've really put a target on my back, so I have to call the flip. And the way this is going to work is whoever wins the flip gets to choose which game they want to pick, which adds an element of pressure as well because you think you've got such tremendous information that you're going to go out there and pick that game to go out if it's you who ends up winning the coin toss, or in reverse, if it's me that ends up winning the coin toss. So is that fair for you? Does that work for you? Are you good with those terms?
Yeah, I think we'll go with that. You go ahead and make your choice. Hopefully you pick the correct one. Don't pull an Allen here.
You know I'm going heads. Like, I can't go tails after Josh Allen. You know, you know I'm going heads. I'm going with it. I'm taking it to the well. So whenever you're ready, Noodles, flip.
So
Team Hayes is on heads.
You want me to flip it and let it land on the floor, correct?
Yeah,
catch it in my hand and flip it over and all that, or...
Well, unless it runs away from you. Yeah, you can do a hand flip.
I'm just going to let it land on the floor.
Okay,
I'm just going to let it land on the floor. Flipping it now. And it is. Hold on. I got to go look now. Got away from me. Sorry.
Bit of a weak flip.
It's a brutal flip.
That was awful. Like, that was an awful flip.
It is heads. It is heads.
Wow, Josh Allen, what's up? See, that's how you call a coin flip right there.
That was a brutal flip.
I choose to receive,
but it got some air time. I'm going to take a picture of it just to make sure.
Al's brother's calling for a reflip here? Is Al's brother calling for a reflip?
No, we'll stick with it. It's okay. We can stick with the heads, but I will let it be known that if this weekend goes awry, that might be why. That might be worse than the non-shake of the hat a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, that was that looked like a
toss. What was the problem?
Flip.
It was against the wall. How you know, like the game where you play it, you know, you throw it against the wall. That's what it was. I've got a corner set up here. I launched it into the corner.
Okay. Right.
So it got a lot of play. What are you complaining about, Hayes? You got the...
I know. I don't have any complaints.
You got the heads.
It was a great flip. 10 out of 10 flip.
Fantastic
Al's brother. Al's brother was just calling into the question the quality of the flip.
It's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Hazy B, I think you're on the clock.
Well, yeah, I'm on the clock here. And honestly, I was hoping to Josh Allen that flip. I'm not sure I want to be picking because I don't need the necessary pressure of going over the top and having to pick the games because I think these lines are pretty good. I think they're appropriate. I think they make sense. I'm going to go with the Niners-Rams game because I think that game is going to be a field goal game. This feels like another consistent ending to what we've seen many times early into these playoffs. Feels like a late field goal wins it. Feels like a tight game. And if you're giving me 3.5, and that's the line we're currently on with the Niners, I think I'm going to take the Niners and take the points.
Oh, you're going away from what you thought you knew earlier in the week. All week you're pumping the tires of the Rams. You're on the Rams, and you let everyone get in your head.
Just
the
divisional battle,
you, didn't he?
The history, the grappler, Duthie. admittedly, this is going against Luke Wilson. And Luke Wilson said earlier he's got faith in Matt Stafford. He did admit some bias. He said that's his guy. He's buddies with him, and he thinks Stafford will show up. And Stafford showed up last week. That wasn't Stafford's issue. It was a fumble issue.
Yeah.
For the Rams. I just think these two teams are so familiar. I think they're going to be close. I think it'll be a lower scoring, tighter game. I see a field goal. That's just where I've kind of been going back and forth all week. If this game was at 2.5, I'd avoid it, but it's 3.5. You're giving me that extra point. I'll take the points. I'll take the Niners plus 3.5.
Yeah, it's a tough one. That's such a difficult line to go on. You look at the Niners, they've won 6 straight, so you're getting points with the Niners. They're rolling. They've won 9 of the last 11. But I do think that their reign over the Rams is over. I do. And a big reason why is because you look at this team. They're predicated in the run game, right? Yes. Predicated in the run game. I got concerns for them. Trent Williams, who knows
he's
what
playing.
Trent Williams is going to show up. He's playing,
play.
But he's banged up that
he's
ankle.
Playing.
You plant that ankle wrong. We saw what happened to the Bucs last week when they didn't have their tackle, and he had to come in and out. So if he's not playing or if he's playing at 50%, who knows what that's going to look like when you're going up against guys like Aaron Donald. And Elijah Mitchell was also limited all week. So if you got to put the ball in Jimmy G's hands with that thumb and shoulder injury, I'm not sure. And we threw for 100 yards last week, less than 200 the week in Dallas. they've been a little lucky, too. Like, they've had to get some luck. They had just special teams gaffes and Green Bay, poor clock management in Dallas. I don't know. I like being on the Rams here.
I figured you might, Al's brother.
I like it.
I love how you hit the coin toss. You have no idea which way this is going to land. Yeah. If I picked the Rams, you'd be like, I love the Niners. Trent Williams would be healthy. And, you know, Elijah Mitchell. I don't.
That's not my game. That's not my game.
I understand it. No, listen, I think it's a tight game. My reasoning is more about the spread than anything else. Like, I've loved the way the Rams have been playing. I mean, Von Miller looks like he's 10 years younger than his birth certificate would say. Donald's a beast, and I expect that to continue. You know, Ramsey's a beast. They're a good team, and Jimmy Garoppolo scares me. I like Shanahan. I like the fact that they're familiar. The home field doesn't scare me at all. SoFi, I don't think, is going to factor in whatsoever.
Yeah.
And you're giving me that extra half point to, you know, push it over 3 to 3.5, I'll take it. Yeah. A field goal
that
game.
Hook,
that's how I see it.
That hook's a nice little piece of action for you, that's
it
for sure.
Is.
But Sean McVay getting his third shot at the same team.
Right.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's difficult to keep going back to the well and keep beating up on teams that you keep rolling with. All right, so that means you've got Chiefs-Bengals. Chiefs-Bengals, the Chiefs are laying 7 at home against Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. Al's brother, the floor is yours. Who do you like and why?
Yeah, what we saw last week out of this Chiefs offense, the explosiveness, the way that they were just moving down the field against an elite defense of the Buffalo Bills, it's hard to bet against them. It's hard to bet against Mahomes. Unless Joe Burrow's on the other side, my friends.
Ooh.
That's right. I'm taking the dogs, Joey Burrow, and the 7 points. Look, the Bengals, they've covered in 6 straight games, 9-2 against the spread on the road this year, including in the playoffs. Joe Burrow doesn't lose big games. Put up over 400 passing yards, 3 or 4 weeks ago against Kansas City. That was the game that Ja'Marr Chase went off for like 200 and something yards. It was unbelievable, and KC's defense has really... They're kind of leaking since then. They've given up an average of 28 points since that game. We saw Allen pick on the safeties after Tyrann Mathieu left his. Mm-hmm. I listened to Luke Wilson earlier today. I think that is going to be a key here. If he's not in this game or if he's not 100%, I expect for them to do the exact same thing, attack down the field, and they got the weapons to do it. Cincinnati's defense playing pretty good. They've allowed only 21 points or less in 8 of their last 10 games. They've covered 6 straight. They may not be able to win this game, but will they lose by a full touchdown? Gentlemen, I just don't see it happening.
Wow.
Going with the
Bengals. That's the catchphrase to close it. That's tremendous information. Okay, you know what? You know what this feels like to me? This feels like I traded back in the draft, and my guy is still on the board.
And you picked him up?
I want the Chiefs. I want to lay 7. I want to lay 7. I want the Chiefs. I said earlier, I think they might blow this team out. I really do. I think they might hang 50 on the Bengals because everyone's focused on Tyrann Mathieu, understandably, the Chiefs defense, as if the Bengals are the 85 Bears or the 2000 Ravens. Like, that defense is brutal, too. That secondary is going to get chewed. Mahomes is healthy.
Brutal's a stretch.
Brutal's
a stretch.
For
there.
The 4 that are left, compared to the others, and I think compared to the Chiefs in the way that they get roasted, I like that Kelsey's healthy. Hill's healthy. Mahomes is healthy. That O-line's intact. Andy Reid's, he's got that piece of chocolate cake staring at him, and he wants it to be a blowout this weekend. I do think Arrowhead is going to factor in. I like it, Al's brother. I was thinking of picking the Chiefs game and going with Kansas City, so I got both teams.
That's so perfect.
I'm going against Luke Wilson. Luke Wilson's going with who you're with. Luke Wilson and Al's brother are both on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
So that does scare me a little bit, but... There it is. The picks are in. Al's brother's on the Bengals, and Al's brother is on the L.A. Rams.
Let's know this. The Sharps, the Sharps are on Cincinnati as well. 76% of the handle coming in on Cincinnati.
Sharp money.
Sharp money. They're on it.
That's it.
What do you guys make of it? That's significant what just happened.
Luke Wilson was on Joe Burrow. That's the only thing that scared me because Luke has got tremendous information. I feel like Al's brother just rinsed him and just stole it and regurgitated in his own way. But, you know, I don't know. Mahomes isn't.
I don't know.
Against Kansas City? Like,
and listen, as Al's brother said, it's not about winning the game. Like, Kansas City could win on a late field goal, win by 6. It's about covering the number. And
I know, but Andy
7.
Reid, too. I love.
That's
like,
a
I
big
want
number,
him.
Though.
It's a big number. It's a big number.
I know,
for sure.
But Andy Reid is a...
I like where Reid's at right
that
now.
Guy.
I like where the Chiefs are at. I think they're sniffing another Super Bowl here. I like
it. I think you're on the right track there, Al's brother. I got to say, Joey Burrow's special, man.
Thank you, Dave.
And I just think it's tough to deny this guy. As much as you don't want to bet against Mahomes, Hayes, I'm with you on that. Like, That's a juicy number. That's a juicy 7 points, and I just think Joe Burrow's going to be able to keep him in it, if not win it.
It's a big number for sure. It feels a lot like the Bills-Chiefs game a year ago, which eventually got away from them, and the Chiefs, I believe, did they win by 20 last year?
You know, yeah, 38-20, I think, was the final.
Yeah,
it was
a big spread at that point. And the comparisons, I see Allen, Burrow, Cincinnati, Buffalo, you know, the Bill. I just wonder how much of it is going to be the Bengals finally realize, okay, this is enough. Like, we've done enough to prove that we're here, we're in the playground, we're the real deal. Not that that's your mentality beforehand, but could that seep in? The Chiefs get up big and are rolling early into the second half. Are the Bengals going to have enough to battle back and make it a game? I'm not sure if they will, based on inexperience.
You know what's one thing that I did have to weigh that does worry me a little bit is when it comes to coaching and Zach Taylor, are they going to settle for points and settle for field goals? I heard earlier, I think it was on the Pat McAfee show, Evan McPherson was talking about how this team, or how he wants to go for the single season playoff field goal record, and he needs 5 more to do it, and he's going for it. And he was talking about how against certain teams you may want to take the points, and he was saying against KC they score a lot, you may want to take the points. I don't know if that'd be a good idea, because I think you got to get touchdowns. So I'm hoping that's not what Zach Taylor is feeding to him. Hopefully that's just in his mind. He's hoping to kick a lot of field goals. That's the one thing that did kind of perk my ears when I heard that, but hopefully Zach Taylor's smart enough. Joe Burrow says, Evan, sit yourself down.
Yes.
I'll take us to the Super Bowl.
Let's
You brought us to the conference championship. I'll take us to the Super Bowl.
I'm pretty sure the kicker isn't going to make a call on the mentality of the coach and the game plan. And if there's one thing we've learned when facing Kansas City, if you're conservative, don't even show up. Like if you think you're going to win with field goals and defense, it's not going to happen. And I said earlier today, the way I see Cincinnati covering the number, let alone winning, I think they need 3-4 touchdowns, maybe 5 touchdowns, and I think they need to win the turnover battle. Like +1, +2, minimum.
Yeah.
And even then, I think it's a ball game, and I wouldn't be shocked if Kansas City won the game. Because if you're going in there expecting it to be a low score, I just don't see Mahomes doing that. I don't see the Chiefs scoring less than 30 points. You know, I think they're going to put up numbers. So you can't field goal your way into a win doing that. There's just no way. So we'll see. We got some news in the NFL. Brian Daboll, the OC up in Buffalo, is taking the job with the Giants. So that's a big hit in Buffalo.
They plucked the AGM Joe Schoen too.
They
so you've got a couple of Buffalo guys heading downstate to the Giants. It's a pretty good hire. I mean, you look at what Brian Daboll's been able to do for this Buffalo offense, and you know the amount that they have improved, and the amount that Josh Allen has improved since he's come to the staff. They seem to be rolling with Daniel Jones, so maybe he'll be able to get Daniel Jones going in the right direction. If not, you know, hopefully they end up drafting a decent quarterback and they can kind of turn things around, because they need it, man. They need to do something up there in New York.
And I'll believe it when I see it with Daniel Jones. I mean, they're going to give him the platform this year. They'll give him 1 year with Daboll, and if Daboll doesn't like what he sees, that'll be the end of the road. And the Giants are not. I don't see them turning it around between this time and this year and next year. So I think they'll have another high pick. Who knows where the quarterbacks will be in the future? But we'll see. So there you go, Brian Daboll's new head coach down in New York with the Giants. So the offensive coordinator for Josh Allen and Sean McDermott out in Buffalo. Tough week and a half up there in Western New York.
Might lose their DC, too.
Yeah.
Leslie Frazier's taking interviews.
He's taking interviews as well. Yeah, that would hurt for sure. All right, Al's brother, you're on the Rams laying 3.5, and you're on the Bengals +7. The best of luck to you and yours. And the O-Dog, I'm sure, is checking in, and he wants to know.
Yeah.
You have to call him now and explain the picks. He's going to want to know, because you know he probably wants to be on the Chiefs, knowing him. Laying points.
His boy Burrow? Yeah, I don't know.
That's true. He is a Bengals super fan.
He's a Bengals fan. Yeah. Can't go against Joey Burrow.
That's true. He would be on valid. Joey B. Yeah.
100% valid. All right, buddy. Good luck this weekend. I'm sure I'll catch you in the text chain very soon.
Oh, yeah. Good luck to you too, Brian.
There's our buddy Al's brother and representing Team O-Dog today. The O-Dog will be back on Monday, and I'm sure if everything goes well, O-Dog will take claim as, you know, providing information to Al's brother before the picks. If it goes south, he'll torture him.
Yeah, he'll blame him for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. That's generally the way it goes. All right, we'll come back and recap a busy afternoon. Look ahead to a big weekend in soccer, hockey, basketball, golf continues. We'll track the farmers. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2. All right, so the picks are in. Al's brother is taking the points with the Cincinnati Bengals. He's taking the plus 7. I'm on the Chiefs then, and I jumped on the Niners plus 3.5. That means Team Al Dog is on the Rams. So we've got two games this weekend, and then the Super Bowl right around the corner. And we've told you about this before, but make sure you jump on board. The Pinty's giveaway, the ultimate home tailgating party, courtesy of Pinty's. Ooh. So win one of five Pinty's Super Bowl kits of $1,000 value, which will include a $500 NFLShop.ca gift card, a co-branded charcuterie board, which we love, co-branded insulated grocery bag, and two co-branded insulated tumblers, Pinty's coupons, an official Super Bowl football and program, Super Bowl plates and napkins, the whole nine. So buy a Pinty's product and enter the UPC on our new website for a chance to win. And this will run through the weekend. So check that out. And Pinty's, we love Pinty's. That's my plan this weekend. Fire up Pinty's wings on Sunday, watch ball games, and get after it. It's a thing.
The chicken nuggets for me is, like, I love the Pinty's chicken nuggets because there's a little pepper in them.
Yeah,
so they got a little bit of a bite for you. Just a bit of a
bite. Keep you on the edge. Keep you on the edge.
You know what's an underrated meal is you get the nuggets and you throw some hot sauce on there. You basically, it's like a wing.
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. It's phenomenal. It's the little Buffy wings that they've got going on, too. The little boneless
very
Buffy
nice.
Bites. Yeah, very, very, very nice. So Peter Mrazek goes for the Leafs tomorrow night. In Detroit, they got Detroit, then a couple games against New Jersey, a chance to pick up some points and just keep rolling here. And the Lions will stay the same. And I don't see why you would change them. Like, you know, we've referenced all week, Blenders come out, Sheldon Keefe's going to move things around. But the fact is, it worked very well a couple of nights ago. So why not go back to that well? And I fully expect that to be the case.
The only thing is, guys, I wanted to ask you this last segment was, you know, if you're Matthews and suddenly you're playing with Kasha and Michael Bunting, and you're looking at it, you're like, suddenly you're five goals out of the Rocket Richard race. It's taking away the best playmaker on the team from your line. Are you loving that?
Well, interesting. It's a great point because if you're looking at it, and I don't think he sits there and goes, I need individual stats, because we talk about that all the time. But it is a confidence factor, too. And I think Matthews, you know, Bunting's done a good job getting him the puck. I think Kasha's a pretty underrated offensive guy. He goes and gets the puck, too. But, you know, to get some nice, easy tap-ins that Marner gives him, you know, those are, I don't want to call them freebies because you have to be skilled enough to convert them. But, you know, there are some easy ones where, you know, everyone expects a shot and Marner rolls his wrist and Matthews just standing there for a tap-in. I think you will see some creativity again from Sheldon if Austin, I don't know, if he doesn't have a big weekend here, you know, like I'd like to, five goals isn't too big of a chunk that he could eat up in a big week. But you don't want to fall too far behind, to your point.
Yeah, and listen, he just finished a streak where he scored, 10 straight games on the road, you know, he's in a pretty good spot. I saw Spezza quoted today saying he's really taken on a leadership role in that room. He's maturing. And I think this is a sign of it. Like what's important? Is it putting your best foot forward for winning games and preparing for the playoffs? Hopefully you get a combination of the two. And I think that's probably what Sheldon Keefe would prefer as well. And Matthews for that matter, like why would you not want to tuck in goals? That's what he does. And goal scorers, they want to score goals. But I think I expect him to just keep chugging. And I think the Lions will move around four or five times between now and the end of the year. And I'd be curious to – let's say they stick with these for the better part of 10 games – to find the actual numbers on how many minutes he plays with Marner on the ice, Nylander on the ice, sneaking in shifts with Tavares on the ice. You know, there's a lot of movement.
And all
there,
the power play time,
And all the power play time, exactly. So, yeah, Leafs in Detroit tomorrow night. The Raptors down in Miami tomorrow. We'll see if Fred VanVleet will play. He was at shoot-around or practice today. That wouldn't make you believe he probably goes. Kyle won't be playing, though. Kyle Lowry's still out for personal reasons. So we won't see Kyle in Miami. That's a tough test, man. The Heat are a good team. So we got that, and we've got the golf tournament going. We've got Canada-USA on Sunday, and we've got two big football games. So it's going to be a fun one. It's been a fun one today. Dave, we always appreciate you finding time for us, buddy. Thank you for stepping in.
Great seeing you guys.
There's Dave Festchuk of the Toronto Star. The O-Dog will be back on Monday. We are out of here. Enjoy your evenings, Enjoy your games. Enjoy your weekends. We're back Monday at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.